Today's saint is the great Saint Lucy. It's one of those early church saints. She was born at the end of the 3rd century, and she was born to very well-to-do, noble parents that loved influencing society and were successful and all of that. And at the time of her birth, shortly thereafterwards, she realized that the life was going to be a little bit harder, if you will, because her father died during her infancy, leaving her alone with only her mother to take care of her. And yet with that, they got along well. They still maintained a high position in society. And as Lucy got older, she was a fair and eligible young lady who was, capable of being, a very good wife or a husband in the upper class. But during that time of her youth, Lucy, unbeknownst to anybody around her, she had promised herself to Christ. She had made that vow of virginity for herself, that she would only live a consecrated life to God. And so when time came around, her mother, not knowing of her promise to our Lord, she saw a young man who was a very eligible suitor, who came from a wealthy family, both of whom would help increase their status in life, and decided that this would be a good person to propose an arranged marriage for them together. Well, the young man, he was still a pagan. He wasn't a Christian at all. But he was of a person that from a natural means seemed very very admirable and kind and good towards people. And so she thought this would be a good match for Lucy. And so she tried to arrange that. But as it would have it, Lucy, when hearing about that, had prayed right away, asking our Lord, please show me the way in which I can get myself out of this situation, because you know the promise that I've made to you, and I don't want to be married to this young man. I want to be consecrated to you, Lord God, but I don't know how to stop this from taking place. Please show me. And so very shortly after she prayed that, all of a sudden her mother felt very ill. She came down with a great sickness, and it seemed that she might even die if it were not some sort of miracle to happen. And so she, by inspiration, Lucy took her mother, and they made a pilgrimage down to the grave of Saint Agatha. And there they prayed at the tomb of Saint Agatha, and then they laying upon the ground in the cemetery, they fell asleep. And Lucy, while sleeping, all of a sudden during her dream, was visited by Saint Agatha herself, and who greeted her warmly and foretold of the sufferings that she would endure as a martyr, but also told her that her prayer had been granted, that her mother was indeed going to be cured, and that everything would be arranged because of that cure. And she awoke and saw her mother sitting upright and feeling so much better, completely healed from whatever ailment she had. And so the mother said, was so thankful that she looked at Lucy and she said, "You were right. God truly did heal me because of the intercession of Saint Agatha, and this pilgrimage has made me whole again. What is it that you want from me? What do you need from me in order that I may return thanks for you being inspired to bring me to Saint Agatha's tomb?" Well, Lucy looked at her mother tenderly, and she said, "Well, I wish." And she told her about the vow that she had made, and she said, "I wish for my inheritance, so that I may give it to the poor." Well, her mother was very moved, but she still was a cautious woman, and she said, and she didn't know that this was necessarily the right thing. So she looked at Lucy and she says, "You can have your part of your dowry, your inheritance, to give to the poor after I'm dead. But in the meantime, I don't think it wise to give." Well, Lucy, inspired, spoke up for herself, and she said, "No, Mom, if you don't give the inheritance to the poor now, if I don't give to the poor while I'm alive, then what good does it do? It's like comparing being led by a torch versus being walking through the darkness and having a torch carried behind you. We have to do good while we are alive, not after we're gone." And the mother realizing the truth in the word said, okay, here's your dollar. Do with it what you see fit. And so Lucy did. She immediately set forth and found the people that were in most need of money and most need of aid. And she right away gave the money, all of that dowry to them. Well, the word eventually got back to her suitor, who wanted to marry Lucy oh so badly. And realizing that the dowry was spent and gone, realized that also his prospect of marriage to her was spent and gone as well. And he became enraged. And that good, supposedly good-hearted man that it seemed on the surface came boiling out that he didn't get what he wanted now. And all of a sudden he turned so angry that he went to the prefect and he denounced Lucy, not only saying, this woman gave away her dowry and gave away what was already arranged to be a rightfully mine, a marriage to her. But he said, and moreover, I believe she did so because she's a Christian. You should arrest her on that basis. Well, the governor, well, he did just that. He rounded up Lucy, brought him before himself and asked her the questions, as so many times we see with the martyrs of the faith, that they get asked, you know, are you a Christian? What do you believe? Will you sacrifice to the gods? Why don't you listen and follow Caesar? And all the while, Lucy was strong in the faith, and she never once wavered in the least, and she would not offer any sacrifice, not even a grain of incense, not even the token nod towards those pagan gods. And with that, the governor threatened her with a grave punishment, that he wanted to defile Lucy's goodness by sending her off to a brothel so that she would have to fall into sin. And Lucy told the governor boldly to his face, you can force me to go to such a place of iniquity, but you cannot make me sin, because it is by my will that I refuse to fall into sin, and I will only wish to serve the one true God. So if you force me there, the sin will be yours, not mine. The governor was so enraged, he said, immediately, take her away. Take her to that place that I have told you to take her to. And the men of the court, they grabbed her, and they started to rush her out the door and push her towards the brothel. Well, as they got partway down the road, all of a sudden, a great miracle happened, and she became rooted to the ground. Nobody could move her. This small teenage girl could not be moved by a great number of men. And so they pushed her and they shoved her, they pulled by her hair, nothing. They then took ropes and tied them to her and pulled with all their might whilst others pushed from behind. Still nothing. She didn't move an inch on the ground. And then they tied the ropes to oxen who are used to pulling plows and had them whipped into action to pull her down the road. But they too failed in even budging this small little girl a centimeter. So in the end, the governor came out and saw what was happening, and he was enraged by that. And so he decided, if she is stuck to the ground like that and even oxen can't move her, the only answer to that can't be that it came from the true God. No, but she must be a witch. And so what do we do with witches? We burn them. And so they brought out a bunch of wood and kindling and placed it all around her and covered her in hot boiling pitch and tar and then tried to light it aflame. But all the while, nothing happened. She was saved from fires and she didn't burn. So finally, the governor decided, well, that's it. Take the sword to her. And they stabbed her in the throat and she died a martyr's death. Now there's an interesting aspect to her martyrdom that is different versions offered there. One such thing is that her martyrdom, during which, when it came time to be executed by the sword, after she was stabbed, she managed to still speak, and that she spoke that prophesizing the downfall of paganism soon to come, and that Diocletian would fall, and that the governor would fall, and that Christ would reign soon enough over all of the Roman Empire, despite all of their best efforts. And with that, the governor, for punishment for that type of prophecy, had her eyes gouged out of her head. Another version of it has it that she being offered to, or them trying to force her to marry the young man, took her own eyes out of her head as a way to dissuade him from forcing her to go against what she knew was already promised to God. Either way, it's for that reason we invoke her for the people with eye trouble, because Lucy had her eyes lost. But when after they had buried her and her body was later moved and they took her out, they found her eyes to be restored completely back intact in her eye sockets. And so what she had lost in life was restored to her in death, not only spiritually, but of course physically by that miracle. Now, what do we learn from that kind of aspect of that gruesome eye gouging out part of Lucy's life? Well, it is a lesson to be learned, because Lucy would prefer to give up something so precious that each one of us holds dear. We see. It's one of our senses. It's something that helps us in so many aspects of life. It's something that brings us closer to God every time we see beauty. It's something that strengthens our soul because we know that it is a true good when we that we have the gift of sight. And yet Lucy was willing to give that up right away with no questions asked. Why? Because it wasn't what she sought after in this life. It was what she sought after in the next. She would rather be blind here. She'd rather grow up without what would be pleasing to her in life, whether it be through marriage or freedom or safety or comfort. All of those things she cast aside so easily because she desired the sight of God. She desired the safety and comfort of eternity. She desired the everlasting life over this life. Nothing else mattered. No level of good feeling, of comfort, or pain could draw her away from that end. God alone she served. God alone she loved. God alone she sought after. And it was God she got. That's the lesson for us. We keep our eyes raised to heaven. We look to see, not how can I gain in this life, how can I sanctify myself more and bring myself closer to heaven? That's my goal. That's what I long for. And in doing that, I find what I seek after. May God bless you, Father.